Verses 1 through 5. Our message tonight is Remember Your Healer. And I pray that as we go through the Word of God tonight, that faith would just rise within our hearts and that we would have a spirit of expectancy in this place tonight. Remember Your Healer. I'm reminded of the story of a young minister who was preparing to preach his very first sermon. And so he asked a more mature minister for some advice on how to engage the congregation's attention. So the older minister said to him, begin with a line that really just reaches out and grabs their attention. For instance, some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another woman who was not my wife. He smiled as the younger minister had a shocked look on his face. And then the older preacher added, it was the arms of my mother. So the next Sunday, the young preacher came up to the pulpit and nervously clutched the pulpit to begin his sermon. And finally, he got the words out. Some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another woman who was not my wife. And he was delighted by the fact that instantly he had everyone's attention. But then he became panic-stricken and he couldn't remember the ending. So he got all flustered and he said, for the life of me, I can't remember who she was. We all have a tendency to forget things. Have you ever forgotten where you put your car keys? Or have you been embarrassed because you forgot someone's name? Forgetfulness is a common problem. Every week, even here at church, people forget Bibles. And they forget jackets, and sometimes they even forget purses. If you got a million or so in there, please leave your purse behind. And on an occasion, some parents have even driven off and have forgotten their children in church. Please, don't leave your kids here. We won't name any names. But don't worry, if you've forgotten your children in church, and I spy some of you, you're in good company because Mary and Joseph forgot Jesus. In the temple. And they had gone a whole day's journey before they even realized that their son wasn't with them. So if you've forgotten your kids in church, you are in good company. But please, we don't want them. We love them while they're here. But take them with you. Hallelujah. But forgetfulness, it can be a real problem. And have you ever noticed how vivid our memory can be on the insignificant things and the negative things that we should forget? I mean, you can remember a funny joke that you heard 5 years ago, but you forget your anniversary. Hallelujah. You can remember the painful words that someone spoke to you years ago, but you have difficulty remembering even one verse in God's Word. Forgetting your keys is an inconvenience. Forgetting someone's name is an embarrassment. Forgetting your anniversary can get you in some real trouble. But forgetting God's benefit keep us from enjoying the wonderful blessing that God has made available to us. For example, when you get a new job, generally, you meet with somebody in human resources and they go over what they call your employee benefits package. You ever had that done for you? Go over your employee benefits package. But once you leave the human resources office and you start working, you tend to forget. And you don't remember all of the benefits that belong to you. And if you forget, you won't be able to enjoy or take advantage of the wonderful blessings that are rightfully yours. So as time goes by, a coworker asks you, why did you take a day off without pay? Don't you know that you get 2 personal paid days? And you say, oh, I didn't know. Or a supervisor finds out that you're graduating with your bachelor's in a work-related field, and they say to you, why didn't you tell us sooner? Don't you know that the company would have paid for your education? And surprised, you ask, what? Are you sure? And the supervisor says, yes, don't you remember? It's in your employee's benefit package. They went over it with you when you got hired. But all of this time, you were not enjoying the privileges that belong to you because you had forgotten about them. And all too often as Christians, we forget the wonderful blessings that belong to us, and we're living far below our privileges as the children of God. Read with me, if you will, Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. The scripture says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Forget not all of his benefits. And the reason that David exhorts us to forget not is because we have a tendency to forget. Folks, there are amazing benefits that belong to those who follow the Lord, those who belong to the Lord. And the chief of those blessings is that he forgives all of our iniquities, all, not just a few, but all. And sometimes we can forget that. And some people live their whole life continually dwelling on their past mistakes and haunted by the failures that they've committed in the past and their sins and feeling unworthy and walking under condemnation. And because of that, they lack the freedom and they lack the peace of knowing that their sins have been forgiven and they're living in bondage to their past. And that's what happens when you forget his forgiveness. You're not enjoying the privilege that belongs to you. But tonight I want us to focus on the second benefit in our benefit package. The second benefit listed in this statement. He is the one who heals all of our diseases. Because I believe as Christians that we often have a more difficult time remembering the benefit of healing than the benefit of forgiveness. We're quicker to believe that God will forgive our sins than we are to believe that God will heal our diseases. It's easier for us to believe that God will save our soul than it is to believe that God will heal our bodies. And that's why I believe that we need to be reminded tonight. We need to remember our healer tonight. And the first thing we need to do is we need to remember his person. Remember his person. Who is God? He is our healer. He is the one who heals all of our diseases. And that speaks to the character of God. You know, people often ask so many questions about healing. Is it God's will to heal? Does God still heal today? Does God heal everyone? Is it God's will to heal physically? Or does he only heal spiritually? How does God heal? A lot of questions. But to understand healing, you have to start with God. Who is God? Do we really know him in his true identity? In Exodus 15, 26, at the bitter waters of Marah, God revealed himself as Jehovah Rapha as he healed these poisonous waters. And the word Rapha means to mend, to cure, or to repair, to make thoroughly whole. When we say Jehovah Rapha, he is the Lord our healer, or the Lord who mends, repairs, and makes our lives thoroughly whole. This is one of God's covenant-keeping names. And his covenant-keeping names reveal his character. His name describes his person. It tells us who God is. Not just what God does on occasion, but who God is. And if this is who God is, it's who he was in the past, it's who he is in the present, and it's who he will continue to be. The Bible makes it clear that it is God's nature. It is God's nature to heal. God heals because of who he is. He is the Lord, our healer. And that's who he is all the time, not part-time, not sometimes, not occasionally, not just in the past, but all the time. Healing is not just something that God does. Healing is the very essence of who God is. Where his presence is, healing takes place. When we get in God's presence, our lives are healed and restored. Hallelujah. Everybody that came into the presence of Jesus, they got healed. Multitudes came to him, and the Bible says he healed them all, because wherever the presence of God is, healing flows. That's the character of God. Then let's look at the conduct of God. It's been said that the best indicator of a person's future behavior is their past behavior. So when we're talking about healing, we see that God healed in the past. For instance, he healed in the Old Testament. God healed Abimelech. God healed his wife. And God healed his maidservants of barrenness. God healed Sarah. of barrenness. In Exodus 15:26, we referred to it a moment ago. God healed the poisonous waters of Marah. In Numbers 12, God healed Miriam, Moses' sister, of leprosy. He healed the Israelites, thousands of them, who had been bitten by poisonous serpents in Numbers 21. He raised a widow's son back to life again. He healed Naaman the Syrian from leprosy. He healed Hezekiah of a deadly sickness and extended his life by 15 years. God is healer in the Old Testament. And God healed in the New Testament throughout the ministry of Jesus. In fact, the Gospels record 41 distinct miracles done for individuals. 41 distinct accounts of physical and mental healing done for individuals. But along with that, thousands of healings occurred among the crowds, as we read time and time again in Matthew 4 and other passages of Scripture, that the multitudes came to him and he healed all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. Thousands upon thousands of miracles that took place during the ministry of Jesus. In fact, out of 3,779 verses in the Gospels, 727 of them specifically relate to the healing of physical and mental illness and the raising of the dead back to life. Healing was a major part of the ministry of Jesus. In fact, if you exclude the birth story and the passion story, his death, 40% of the Gospels are dedicated to the healing ministry of Jesus. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus said, the works that I do, they are not my works, but they are the works of the Father. What is he saying? He's saying, our God is a healing God. Hallelujah. God not only healed through the ministry of Jesus, but God also healed through the 12 disciples. And then later on, he healed through the 70 disciples that Jesus sent out two by two. And as we read through the book of Acts, God continued to heal and to do miracles through the church in the New Testament. And he is still healing today because he does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We need to remember his person. We need to remember his character, and we need to remember his conduct. Hallelujah. So we need to remember his person, but next we need to remember his promise. What has God promised to do? The first question we answered is, who is God? Now we answer, what has God promised to do? He has promised to heal some of our diseases. He has promised to heal all of our diseases. And God's promise reveals his will. God is a God of covenant promise. He made a covenant with Noah never to destroy the earth by flood again. Thousands of years have passed by. God has kept his promise. He made a covenant with Abraham to bless him and make him a mighty nation, and that through him the seed of the Messiah would come. And God has kept his promise to Abraham, a promise he made when as of yet Abraham had no child. And Abraham and his wife were barren. But God opened her womb and she had a son. And now the nation of Israel exists because of a promise that God made to Abraham thousands of years ago. And now Jesus Christ has come to earth and offered his life upon the cross of Calvary because of a promise that God made to Abraham thousands of years ago. He made a covenant with Moses and the children of Israel to be their God, and that he would be their people, and that he would give to them the promised land. And it is a covenant that God has kept. God has always dealt with his people by means of covenant promise. The word covenant simply has to do with certain commitments, certain promises that God has made towards his people. And his covenant or his promises reveals what God wants to do for his people. God's covenant is God's commitment to us. It obligates God. God obligates himself to do certain things for us. That's what he promises. Now, our Bible is comprised of the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. The Old Book of Promises and the New Book of Promises. The Old Covenant depended on obedience. They had to keep the law. If they failed to keep the law, because no one can keep the law perfectly, then they forfeited the blessings of God and brought curses upon themselves. But the new covenant is based on grace, for by grace are you saved through faith. That means the blessings of God come to us not because we keep the law perfectly, not because of our obedience, but they are a gift that God freely gives to us through faith. We don't have to work for them. We don't have to earn them. We don't have to deserve them. All we have to do is reach out and receive them by faith. In 2 Corinthians 1:20, Paul says, "For no matter how many promises God has made." And someone has said that there's over 365 promises in the Bible. And it says, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. God has already said yes to every promise in His Word. It's not something we have to come and barter for or negotiate with or try to bend the arm of God because He's reluctant and we've got to try to plead with Him. No, He's already said yes. What we have to do is we have to appropriate. We have to appropriate the promise to our lives. Knowing God's promise gives us the faith to possess what He has promised. If we don't know that something is ours, then we can't have confidence to come and claim it. If we don't know that it's God's will to heal all, then how can we come confidently and expectantly into His presence and say, God, heal me because You promised it? But if we know the promise of God, if we know that God says that He wants to heal all of our diseases, then we can come confidently before His throne. And this is what we call appropriating the promises. And appropriating the promises requires four steps. You need to know or remind yourself of God's promise. You can't ask for faith in faith for what you don't know is God's will to do for you. It's like a man that bought a ticket on a cruise, and his dream was to come to America. So it was a ticket on a transatlantic voyage, and in his luggage, he packed a big block of cheese and some boxes of crackers. And every day he passed by the dining room and he saw people feasting at the buffet. But he would pass on by and he would go back to his stateroom and he would eat cheese and crackers. And on the last day of the cruise, as he was disembarking, the captain was shaking hands and he saw the man and he said, "Sir, how is it that I never saw you in our dining room?" And the man said, "Well, Captain, I'm embarrassed to say, but I only had enough money to buy the ticket." Shocked, the captain said, "Friend, do you not know that all of your meals are included?" If you've ever taken a cruise, you know. Because you probably came back 10 pounds heavier, amen? But because the man didn't know what had been provided for him, it was of no benefit. He couldn't go into the dining room and claim what was rightfully his. We need to claim the promise. And this is where we make it personal and we claim it for ourselves. And you say, "God, Your word says that You are the Lord who heals all of our diseases. God, I am Your child and I'm coming to You right now and I'm believing You to heal me." You have to make it your own. So you have to remind yourself of the promise and then you have to claim the promise. And then you have to wait for the promise. See, this is the period between claiming the promise and receiving the promise. We have to wait in that time with expectancy. When you wait with expectancy, it means that you're looking for it to happen. It doesn't mean that you're looking for the symptoms in your body and saying, "Oh, but I still have pain. Oh, but I still feel this way. Oh, but the doctor still said." No, you are looking with expectancy. You're looking to God and you're saying, "Despite what my body says, Lord, I'm trusting in You. Despite what the doctor says, Lord, Your word says, and I am believing You." Hallelujah. And you wait with expectancy. And that brings us to the final stage, and that is the promise received. We have to position ourselves by faith to receive a miracle. Much like how a baseball player positions himself to catch a fly ball. And he keeps his eye focused on the ball and he has his mitt upraised and his eye focused and he's just positioning himself to receive that ball. We need to position ourselves by faith to receive the miracle of God. Don't be like the man who settled for cheese. Go boldly into God's dining room and take a seat by faith and wait to receive what He has already paid for and what He's already said yes to. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. And then thirdly, we need to remember His power. What is He able to do? We've asked, who is He? What has he promised? But now we want to ask, what is he able to do? He is able to heal all of our diseases. You know, it's amazing. You got to go to one doctor who is your general doctor. And then he's got to give you a referral to somebody else for something else that you're going through. And you, if you're sick in body, you can find yourself going to several different doctors. My mother, she's 83 years old, soon to turn 84 years old. And I've got to take her to her medical appointments. And she's got a general doctor. She's got a cardiologist. She's got a vascular specialist. She's got an oncologist because she had cancer in the past. And you have to go from doctor to doctor to doctor because no human doctor can treat every malady that your body has. And no human doctor can heal your diseases. They can medicate. They can manage. They can treat. But they can't heal. But God is the one who heals all. We don't come to him with one sickness and he says, I'm sorry, I got to refer you to another God because I don't handle that. He is the one who heals all of our diseases. And what does all mean? Get ready to write it down because the deep Hebrew word means all. All means all. What a revelation. There is absolutely nothing that he's not able to heal. It doesn't matter what prognosis the doctor gives you. It doesn't matter if the doctor says, well, in 60% of the cases, people don't recover, whatever. It doesn't matter. He is the one who is able to heal all of our diseases. I'm reminded of the story of a woman named Molly Sewer who came to our church for the first time several years ago. And one of our ladies, Rema Chensi, at the time who attended our church and has since moved on, her car broke down in front of Molly's home. And she didn't have a phone with her, and so she knocked on Molly's door and asked if she could use her phone. Molly welcomed her in and let her use her phone, and while she was talking on the phone calling for help, she noticed how depressed Molly was. And so before she left her house, she asked her, she said, you know, I noticed that you seem down. What's wrong? And Molly began to tell her, I've been diagnosed with cancer. And she pulled down, well, at that time it's summer in South Florida, and she was wearing a turtleneck, and she pulled down the turtleneck to expose a baseball-sized tumor on the side of her throat. And she said, the doctors have said there's nothing that they can do for me. I have about 6 months. They sent me home, and they told me just to put my affairs in order. And she said, before you knocked on the door, and the house was all in darkness, she said, before you knocked on the door, she said, I was actually contemplating what means of suicide to use. She said, because I have seen people in the last stages of cancer, and I don't want to go through that. So I prefer to end my life now. Well, Rhema started to minister to her and to encourage her and to tell her about a God who is a healer. And Rhema invited her to church that Sunday, and I had no clue that she was there that morning. But as the service was going on and it was coming to the altar time as we normally do, the Spirit started to just move upon me and just say, you're not going to preach this morning. You're just going to have a healing line. And as it came to that point in time, I shared what the Spirit had put on my heart. And of course, you know, it seems that when you say that there's a healing line, everybody comes out of the woodwork. Everybody is sick, you know. So the line just extended forever. And you're praying and you're praying. And as you go along, your prayers are getting shorter and shorter. You know, at first you're quoting scripture and God, we stand upon your word. And Lord, you're our healer. And then, you know, as a minister, if you've ever done this, you're getting wore out. And so, you know, as more people come, you're just saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name. Well, I got to Molly. I didn't know who she was, but I got to Molly, and I just laid hands on her, and I said, in the name of Jesus. And when I said that, Molly screamed, and she took off running and jumping all throughout the sanctuary. And I thought, wow, she's, you know, I knew she was a new person. I hadn't seen her before. And I said, wow, she's really emotional, you know. And I kept on praying for people. And a few moments later, Molly came to me and she said, I've got to testify. I've got to testify. And she's trying to take the microphone from me. And I said, well, you know, because she's a stranger. I don't know who she is. So I moved the microphone to the side and I said, will you tell me first what it is that you want to testify about? So she began to tell me as quickly as she could this whole story. And she reached up and pulled down a turtleneck And you know, to be wearing a turtleneck in South Florida in the summer, that you've had to have a problem. She was trying to camouflage the tumor on her neck. And she pulled down the collar of her turtleneck, and she said, "Look, it disappeared." She said, "The moment you laid hands on me, it disappeared. It's gone." Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. God healed her. And instantly, the tumor disappeared. She became a member. She attended church with us for several years. She moved to Trinidad, and she even has come back on vacation since then, and she has testified how she has shared with all her family and many people in Trinidad the miracle-working power of God in her life. Folks, when the doctors say no, God says yes. When the devil says no, God says yes. It doesn't matter what your circumstance says. God says yes, I want to heal you. Hallelujah. All includes AIDS, it includes cancer, it includes diabetes, it includes heart disease. There is not a disease that you can name that God cannot heal. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. I don't care what label you got on you tonight, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, whatever name you've got on you tonight. All means all. And for a God who can do all things, it's no harder for him to heal a headache than it is for him to heal a cancer. Because he's all powerful. Hallelujah. And just as there is absolutely nothing that he can forgive. The Bible says he is the God who forgives all of our iniquities. We don't say, "Wow, God, that's really a big sin. That's going to be a tough one for you to forgive." Do we go around saying that? No. Because he said, "I forgive all of your iniquities." And we believe him no matter how small or how big the sin, that he is able to forgive. But he's also the God who heals all of our diseases. It doesn't matter how small. It doesn't matter how great. It doesn't matter how simple. It doesn't matter how complicated. He is the God who heals all of our diseases. Hallelujah. Folks, it's easy for us to hear the words of the doctor and forget the benefit of God's healing. It's easy for us to feel the pain and the sickness in our body and forget that God is our healer. But today, we need to remember. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come back, if you will. Because today, we want to remember that God is our healer. And David tells us that one of the primary ways to remember that God is our healer is to bless the Lord. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, and forget not all of his benefits." When he says, "Bless the Lord," what is he telling us to do? Praise the Lord. And praise him for what? Praise him for his benefits. David started to praise God and say, "God, you're the one who forgives. You're the one who heals. You're the one who blesses." And tonight, I want us to remind ourselves that God is our healer by praising him, by blessing his name as our healer. And in a moment, I'm going to open the altars and invite you to come. But before I do that, I'd like you just to stand to your feet and sing together just a few times through the song, "You're My Healer." And we're just going to bless the name of God tonight as our healer and allow faith to rise within our hearts again as we remind ourselves that he is our healer and there is nothing impossible for him. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.